Thank you. Over the last number of weeks leading up to graduation, or even a couple months in our planning of our church, I started thinking about what to preach on for the graduates, what to preach on a graduation Sunday, and started thinking about the foundations, or started thinking about leaving a legacy, or different things like that. And Pastor Matt and I were talking, and we thought of why don't we continue our study in Proverbs and look at something that these graduates are going to do for the rest of their life, and that's going to be work. And some of you are like, no, I can't believe you would talk about work today. Today's my day off. I get one day. Work is a four-letter word, and we don't talk about it on Saturday or Sunday. And I want to talk about another four-letter word that is called being wise, and how to work wise, and what it looks like to work in a way that brings God glory. I love the song that Josh, you sung. It was the second to the last, I Surrender. And I surrender all, everything, even our work. In our culture, so often we're taught to kind of just get by. Work enough, but don't work too much. If you only have to work 40 hours a week, then just only work 40 hours a week. And if your boss is requiring you to work 40 hours a week, you should try to work 30. And we're taught to kind of get one over on the man a little bit. And that's the culture that we live in. Or let's not work at all. And I think God has a totally different plan for our life and for our work. And that we would do everything, surrendering it to Him. When I was a young kid, I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and my dad, we had an acre of property, and my dad, before he went to work one morning, said, "Hey, Noel, I need you to mow the backyard." And I'm like, "Well, it seems like a big job, but okay," 8 years old, and he was wanting me to learn how to work, so I woke up, I started to go out to mow the yard, and as I walked out to mow the yard, I noticed, at least it felt like to an 8-year-old, the weeds were like this tall, and just this huge job to mow, probably about a half an acre, and my dad said, "You know what, if you do a good job, I'll pay you $20. $20 for an 8-year-old sounds pretty good, and I don't know what that would have been, like 1992, and that was a good paying job. So I go out, I look at these giant weeds, and then the weed mower that we had, I think, was built in like 1924, and I remember as a kid trying to push that thing, and I had to hold it like this, and like try to push it through the weeds, and so I went out and was ready to do this job, and tall weeds, big giant mower, and I start to work. And I got the mower started, and I start to push the mower along, and we're going. It's going pretty good. And I got about a quarter of the way through the job, and I decided that this was really, really hard. That this was too hard a work for me, and I couldn't do it. Now, mind you, I was a quarter of the way through, so obviously I could do the job. I was capable of doing the job, and what I ended up doing was I mowed all of the areas that my dad was going to be able to see, and so when he pulled up in the evening, he would be able to look out and be like, "Yeah, the yard's done. He did what I asked," and didn't have to investigate any further, my hope was. So I left like behind the garage, not mowed. We had a playhouse behind the playhouse, not mowed. We had another shed behind the shed. It was not mowed, and I left these big sections not mowed. And my dad came home. He said, "How'd it go?" And I remember as like an 8 or 9 year old saying, "It's good, Dad. It's all done. Like, can I get my money now?" And he goes, "We'll look at it in the morning." And I remember at that point, as an 8 or 9 year old, thinking, oh man, I'm in trouble. This is going to be really ugly. And so he didn't pay me. And we went out the next day. And my hope was that he was just going to go out and just kind of, yeah, all right, same thing. Wasn't the case. We went out, and him and I walked the whole backyard all the way around. He pointed out every single weed, I think, that I missed, that I didn't cut down in every spot. And the whole time, I remember him saying that something that stuck out in my mind was a half job is not a job. And so doing a half job is not doing the job. And it was something that stuck out over and over. It was probably something that my grandpa told my dad when he was young, something that he told me when I was young. And my punishment was I had to finish the whole job, and I didn't get paid. And I had to go back and do exactly what my dad had asked me to do and do it the right way. The book of Proverbs is full of instruction on work. And there's lots and lots of Proverbs on work in the book of Proverbs. And it's interesting, as you look at those, there's really no, it gives no middle ground for our work. Either you work or you're lazy, is how the book of Proverbs is laid out. It doesn't say, for those of you that work hard, like there's an extra level of work, it's either you work or you don't. It's either you work or you're lazy. And I want to look today at Proverbs chapter 6 together. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. And this is Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. And it says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores up provisions for the summer and gathers food for the harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief in the night, or the thief and scarcity like an armed man." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the instructions that we find in the book of Proverbs. God, I pray that you would convict our hearts. Lord, that you would direct us. Lord, that we would be men and women and young people that would bring you honor and glory in the way that we work. Lord, help us to learn today. In Jesus' name, amen. This proverb starts out with saying, "Go to the ant, you sluggard." And I think I have a picture of an ant that Molly's going to bring up. Oh, that's the slug. But it says, "Look at the ant." Has anybody, you guys have all probably seen ants. And the ant is a pretty amazing little bug. And we think, man, it's really tiny. It's really small. It probably doesn't do a lot. The ant works on average 19 hours a day. And it's like working nonstop. And it doesn't, they don't act like us where, you know, we sleep all night and then we're up all day. They take multiple naps throughout the day, which help them become more successful. They take, I think, like 250 naps, 1 minute naps a day, which is like, is like 19 hours worth of work, basically, if you do the math there. And so the ant works incredibly hard. There's some ants, and I don't know what kind of ant this is, but there's some ants that can pick up 100 times their body weight. And I remember when I was learning to work out, if you could pick up your body weight, that was a big deal. So an ant can pick up 100 times its body weight. They work tirelessly to store up provisions. And sometimes we've probably seen pictures of an ant carrying like leaves and stuff like that. I always figured the ant was carrying the leaf because then they were going to eat it later. But they actually carry it so then they can plant the fungus they're going to eat inside the leaf. So they're basically carrying their garden bed with them, so then they can plant and eat throughout the rest of the year. And the ant is an amazing worker. They just work hard. I remember one time standing there and I saw a trail of ants, and it was in some dirt, and I drew a line through the trail of ants, and guess what? The ants didn't stop. The ants continued. They went around the little line that I drew, and they kept going. They work themselves very hard. And then we have, in this passage, we have the sluggard or the slug. Probably some of us have seen these. And I did a little research on the slug, and the slug has almost no use at all. Other than it's food for other things. I remember as a kid, my grandpa always telling me, like, if you see a slug or a snail, just step on it and kill it because they're no good. And so that's what we did, but that's not what we're talking about here. So the slug, is basically it's food. It's food for everything else. The slug is even food for the worms. Like, how pathetic do you have to be eaten by a worm? I don't have a lot of experience in worm gathering, but I know that they aren't very ferocious. And the slug gets eaten by the worm. They're part of the circle of life, and in farming and our plant growth, they're almost pointless. They have no great job. And the proverb here, the writer of the proverb is instructing, he says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, so it has nobody telling them what to do. And it turns out they have queens and stuff like that. But basically, it doesn't have somebody standing over them telling them, you're going to do this. They just continue to work. They have no overseer, commander, but yet they store up provisions all summer. They work hard so that in the end, they'll be able to eat. They'll have a harvest. So he's telling this slug, this lazy person, this person that is basically good for nothing, to look at the ant's ways and be wise, to look at how the ant works. And it says, how long will you lay there? How long will you sleep for? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. In our culture, sleep, we probably sleep more than any other culture put together. We take our sleep very serious in our culture. We have like beds that inflate themselves and special pillows, and us Americans take our sleep pretty serious. And we like to sleep like if we only get 8 hours of sleep, we feel like we got gypped. And maybe if we didn't get a nap in the middle of the day, we feel like, man, I'm not gonna make it. And we take our sleep pretty serious. And it says, how long will you lay there for, you slug? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands, and guess what happens? When we take our sleep too serious, poverty comes like a thief, comes like an armed man. When we take our laziness too serious, we kind of get ourselves into trouble. We get ourselves into poverty, and we set ourselves up for not being able to succeed. So as a church, we realize that work is important. We realize that we should be working, but how do we actually work wise is what we're going to look at today. How do we work wise as Christians from the Proverbs? The first way that we work wise is we work diligently. If you're taking notes, this would be a good spot to start writing some notes. To work wise, we work diligently. To work diligently is to work work that is done carefully and in a determined way. Proverbs chapter 13, verses 4, it says, a sluggard's appetite is never full, but the desires of the diligent will be satisfied. Many years ago, before I was even married, I was talking with an older gentleman, and we were talking about money, and he said, hey, let me show you what I do to manage my money. I'm like, all right, sounds good. Like, I didn't know anything about money at all, and I don't think I do now really either, but we're learning, and so I sat down with this older gentleman, and he showed me his spreadsheet. I'd never seen one of these before. It wasn't something that I was taught, and he showed me his spreadsheet and the detail that he took into knowing where his money was going, into knowing where he was going to spend his money, how much money he was going to make, and where that money was going to go. And guess what? His appetite was filled, and the things that he desired, the things that he wanted, he had money for. It never was like, how are we going to do that? I don't know. He always, when there was something that came up or something that he wanted to do, he had the money and he was able to do it. That was a big contrast to the way that I knew how to take care of my money, which was thinking about the dollar bills that I had in my head and trying to figure out if I spent money there, was I going to have enough? And how that was going to work. And I was really grateful that, and I've been very grateful that people have showed me a better way to use money. But at that point, having no idea how to use money and trying to keep track of it on the back of receipts and different things like that, there was always something I didn't have money for. And there was always something that I wanted more that I couldn't afford. And my appetite wasn't full. Now I ate. I made sure that I ate, but there was a problem there, and my lack of diligent work kept me from being filled and being satisfied. And I think as we learn to work diligently, as we learn to work carefully and determined, as Christians in our jobs, we will find that our appetites will be filled and will be satisfied. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. We're going to come back and look at that a little later, the rest of that verse. But whatever you do, do it with all your heart. This would mean even your work. This would mean even your jobs, we should do it with all our heart. Any task that's been laid out before us, we should do it with whatever and everything that we have. So the first way that we honor God with our work is we work diligently. We work diligently at our tasks. The second is we work skillfully. We work skillfully. We work in a way that is skilled. We grow in our skill set. We work hard in our skill set, and we strive for excellence is something I wrote down. But we work skillfully. When I was working construction, this was when I was 18 years old. I had just graduated from high school. I had zero construction skills. I did it for a short period of time, just long enough to know that I shouldn't ever do it again. And I was working construction, and I worked with a couple of guys that were very skilled in construction. At least as an 18-year-old, that's the way I felt. And there was one guy that had great construction skills that was known for the saying, well, that's good enough. We would do a job. He'd put it up. He would put a, you know, whatever it was, put a piece of wood up or hang a window or do some concrete. And we'd kind of start to be done with the job. And he was really well known for saying, that's good enough. He was skilled in those areas of construction, but he didn't work skillfully at it. Even though he had the knowledge to do it, he didn't use those skills and that knowledge in his work. Proverbs 22, verse 29 says, "Do you know someone skilled in their work? They serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank." Someone skilled in their work, it says that they're going to serve before kings. They're going to get promoted. Someone that serves before a king is probably not the first newest hire on the job. It's someone that's been proven trustworthy and skilled and able to accomplish the task. Someone that serves skillfully is going to be promoted. They're going to be somebody that's going to work through the ranks of their job because they show that they work with excellence. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23 says, "All hard work brings profit, but mere talk only poverty." Like this man that I worked with, he had great skills, but he kind of just, when it was all said and done, he just kind of talked a good talk because he never showed it. Because he just kind of always did a half job. He always did kind of just a good enough job. Working skillfully. In Exodus, the Jewish people, God's chosen people, were chosen to build the tabernacle. And if you want to take some notes, if you want to write them down, I'll give you a couple of verses, but Exodus 35 verses 10 through 19, and then Exodus 35, verses 26 through 29, we see where God assembled his team. He gave Moses direction, and then it says that Moses found skillful people. It says that Moses found people skilled in the areas of their work. They were building the dwelling place of God, and a pretty big job. Moses found people that had construction skills. He found people that had the skills to assemble different things. He even found ladies that had skills in spinning yarn and thread out of goat hair. And it says that they had skills. They had the skills to accomplish the job, and they worked skillfully at it. I want to encourage us, if we're going to work hard, if we're going to work wise, that we need to work skillfully. We need to work. Not that we will always have the greatest skills, but we will work in a way that strives for excellence and that works in a way that builds a skill set. I think it's very important for us that we take pride in our work and we do it skillfully. The next one is if we're going to work wise, we work unto the Lord. So we have that we will work skillfully and we will work diligently. And the last one, probably the most important one, if we are going to work wise, we're going to work unto the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 says, "Commit your ways to the Lord." Commit whatever you do to the Lord, and he will establish your paths. Commit whatever you do to the Lord, and he will establish your paths. That even includes our work. That even includes your job. Commit whatever you're going to do, whatever the task is, to the Lord, and he will establish your paths. What's awesome about this passage is it doesn't say that he might kind of show himself to you or you might maybe be a little successful, but he will establish your paths if you commit your ways to the Lord and if you work unto the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working unto the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. And whatever you do, work at it with all your heart." Students, graduates, this is a little time where I get to talk to you. As you go off to college, as you go off, maybe it's to a different state, to a different college. Maybe it's here, Columbia. Whatever you do, do it with all of your heart as working unto the Lord. Do it to bring him glory, not to bring yourself glory. So that would be to promote him, not to promote yourself, and work at it diligently. I think if you take the heart of I'm working unto the Lord and not for human masters, it makes it a lot easier to want to work hard. It makes it a lot easier to want to work well, to want to work skillfully, to want to work diligently. If you take it in the heart of I'm working for the Lord, not for this guy or this lady that told me what to do, but I'm working for God, because he is who I'm serving. And he is where our inheritance lies, as we work and as we serve well. I think it brings God glory here, and it shows others who you are. It shows others who your commitment is to. And for you graduates and for the rest of our congregation, our desire, our hope, and my desire is that when people would see you, they would know that you are committed to Jesus. They would know that you are working for him, that you're serving him, and that your reward is found in him. And so that's my desire. But we work unto the Lord. We work in a way that brings him glory. Some of you might be thinking, Noel, that's probably easy for you to say, like you work at a church. You that's what you do. I'm here full time at the church. So what about me? Like how do I do that? How do I work in a way that is unto the Lord at my job? Maybe you're a teacher, or maybe you're an office person, or maybe you work with your hands and you're a laborer. How do I work in my job and do it unto the Lord? And I really think it goes back to working diligently and working skillfully. When you think, man, I'm a teacher, or I'm an office person, or I'm a laborer, or I work this place or work that place, when you work skillfully and diligently, you are working unto the Lord. When you do your job in a way that is skillful, when you do your job in a way where the boss is pleased with what you do, you're working unto the Lord. And the Lord is the one that's given you those abilities and those talents to do that. And the Lord is the one who gets the glory for that. So my hope and my desire is that we would be people that would be known for our work. That we would be, Twain Heart Bible Church, we're known for our work. Not that we are just known that we work hard, but that we work diligently and we work skillfully, and that we work unto the Lord to bring him glory and to bring him honor. I'm going to pray for us. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for the ability to work. Lord, thank you that you've commanded us to work, even back in Genesis, that you created us to work. Lord, I pray that we will work in a way that will bring you glory. Lord, that we would work wise, as we've learned here in Proverbs. Lord, I thank you for our seniors. I pray that they'll take this message of work and bring it into all of their life. Lord, that they would be known as men and women that work in a way that brings you glory and that work wise. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.